Grace and peace to you from God, our Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. When one spends time in the four gospel accounts, we see that Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are showing us something extraordinary. The ministry of Jesus is extraordinary. His preaching is with power. He heals people. He even raises people from the dead. He walks on water. And as we heard in today's gospel reading, he takes a little bit of bread and a few small fish, and he feeds thousands of people. It is extraordinary. Now, is this why Jesus came? Was Jesus simply a miracle worker? If we look closely at what Mark is doing, we will see that there is something else going on, something that Jesus is doing that is more than just these miraculous actions. And that is, he is preparing his people for what he will do for them after he rises from the grave and ascends into heaven and is no longer walking on this earth as he did in his ministry. So how Mark is showing us this is by showing us that what Jesus is planning on doing is very ordinary. Now, that's probably not what we want, is it? We are probably thinking, well, why not today? Why not those miraculous healings? We've all been there. We've gotten sick, sometimes facing serious illness. Why doesn't Jesus today miraculously heal us of our illness? Why doesn't Jesus carry out all those miracles as he did 2,000 years ago? This is what we want, isn't it? And yet, what Mark is showing us that Jesus is doing is preparing for the ministry to come once he is no longer on this earth. And it is carried out in a very ordinary way. Because on that day, when Jesus was with the crowd, there were 4,000 people there, and they had been with him 3 days. He had been teaching them. They had no food, and of course, they were hungry. Now, we might expect Jesus to focus on the spiritual. Okay, so they need food, but is that what they really need? I mean, I can send them home, because what they really need is the spiritual food, the food that will feed them for eternity. When Jesus himself had been fasting for 40 days in the wilderness, he focused on the spiritual. When he was tempted by the devil, turn these stones into bread. He quoted the Old Testament saying, a person does not live by bread alone, but by the word of God. But you see, it's right there. A person does live by bread, just not bread alone. We need food, and God desires for us to be fed with the nourishment we need. But of course, the food we have for this life only lasts for this life. Even so, what do we see at the very beginning in Genesis 1 and 2? When God created all that he had created, he meant for our lives to be ordinary lives, to live out each day and to be fed with ordinary food. This was even before Adam and Eve fell into sin. He meant for our lives to be ordinary. Adam and Eve, before they fell into sin, they walked and talked with God. It was a true communion with the very God of the universe. We see also in our Old Testament reading from Genesis chapter 2, the warning that God gave to Adam, of all the trees of the garden you may eat of, but not the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. In the day that you eat of it, you will die. Now, what kind of death are we talking about here? In the epistle reading, Paul shows us exactly what happened. because he says that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. And how is this gift given? Well, we see that Jesus planned to give us this gift of eternal life in a very ordinary way. On that day, when he looked out at the crowds and had compassion on them, he said to his disciples, "If I send them away now, then some of them may faint on the way because they've come from a long distance." So he knew what they needed. He had been teaching them. Now they needed physical nourishment. And so he was going to meet that need. But how did he do it? He is specifically, as we see Mark telling the story, talking to his disciples. There's more going on here than Jesus simply accomplishing a miracle, as extraordinary and awesome as that is. Mark, almost matter-of-factly, leads us into this story by saying, in those days, when a large crowd again was gathering. It's almost as if he's saying, oh yeah, by the way, there was this other time where Jesus did this particular miracle. It's as if to say that Jesus knows what he is doing, not simply feeding those people there, but planning for the future, preparing his disciples, the 12, that he will call to be his apostles. Because when Jesus took the bread and he gave thanks for it and blessed it and broke it, he gave it not to the people, but to his disciples, for his disciples to then give out to all the people. In this same way, these disciples, who he would call as apostles, would also, in a very ordinary way, feed the people of God, no longer with bread and fish, but with bread and wine. This is what Jesus was doing, preparing for this very ordinary way in which he would feed his people. Jesus Christ, he shows us that, Mark shows us that in the same way that Jesus' ministry was characterized by miracles, we see also in the book of Acts that was the ministry of the apostles. Many miraculous acts, and yet there are a couple instances in the book of Acts where we see that something else was going on, and that is something very ordinary. We see in the book of Acts that when the people of God gathered each week, they were gathered around the Word of God and the bread and wine that the Lord had instituted for them. This is what the apostles were doing every week, giving the people of God the teaching of the Lord and the very body and blood of Christ the Lord. Jesus Christ, he gave this food to his disciples on the night in which he was betrayed. And when he took that bread and broke it and gave thanks, he gave it to them saying that this was his very body. And in the same way, he took the cup, and when he blessed it and gave it to them, he gave it to them with the words that it was his very blood. Now, this is extraordinary, knowing the night before what would occur the very next day, that he would actually give over into death his very body for the forgiveness of sins, that his very blood would be shed on the cross for the sin of the world. This is what the Lord instituted on the night in which he was betrayed, and so in bread and wine, giving to his disciples so that they in turn would then give to the people of God. On that day, when Jesus fed those thousands of people, Mark then tells us that he dismissed them. In the same way that Mark almost nonchalantly enters the story, in those days when there was a crowd of people, he then ends in an abrupt way. He dismissed them. And so it's all over. He had taught them, he had fed them, and now he dismisses them. It's time to go home. It's time to go about their ordinary lives, because this is, after all, why God created us. He created us to live each day. We should not think of ordinary as simply mundane or boring, but actually those things that God has given us to do. And the easiest way to think about what God has given us to do is to look at the people in our own lives, the people that God has called upon us to be there for them, to help them in their needs, to serve them, and to love them. This is what characterizes our day-to-day lives. And it is all because of the way that Jesus continues to carry out the ministry. For those apostles, they also died, but then the ministers of God who carry on this very ministry give to you, the people of God, bread and wine. In so doing, you are receiving the very body and blood of Christ, this eternal food, this extraordinary meal given in a very ordinary way, week in and week out, so that also in this food that your Lord gives to you, you are also given the forgiveness of your sins, and thereby your life that you have is eternal. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.